Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Thursday edition of the Three Martini Lunch. Ian Tuttle of National Review in for Jim Garrity today, who's a casualty of the D.C. area snow. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, good, bad, and crazy martinis for conservatives as usual. And Ian, good to have you back. Thanks for your time today.
Glad to be here.
Well, let's start with the good martini. And a lot of times in a pretty rough political climate for conservatives right now, our good news has largely been bad news for Democrats. So we actually have some real good news, a conservative actually taking on a Obama administration official, and it would seem to be winning the debate pretty handily. Gina McCarthy is the administrator of the Environmental Protection Agency. She was up on Capitol Hill discussing what she wants to see in terms of funding for the EPA. She wants a 6% increase from the last fiscal year because, of course, they want to impose more and more regulations to ward off climate change. So Senator Sessions, who is best known for his opposition to the administration on immigration, decided to have a little chat with Ms. McCarthy about the facts on climate change.
We've had fewer droughts in recent years. Do you dispute that?
I don't know in what context he's making statements like that, but I certainly can tell you about the droughts that are happening today.
No. Are you aware that the IPCC has found that moisture content of the soil is, if anything, slightly greater than it has been over the last decade? It's in their report. Are you aware of that?
I don't know what you're referring to, Senator, but I'm happy to respond. And
well, you need to know because you're asking this economy to sustain tremendous cost. What about hurricanes? We had more or less hurricanes in the last decade.
There have been more frequent hurricanes and more intense in terms of landing those hurricanes on land. I cannot answer that question. It's a very complicated issue.
It's not complicated on how many have landed. We've had a dramatic reduction in the number. If you take the average of the models predicting how fast the temperature would increase, is the temperature in fact increasing less than that or more than that?
I cannot answer that question specifically.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I just would say this is a stunning development that the head of the Environmental Protection Agency, who should know more than anybody else in the world, who's imposing hundreds of billions of dollars in costs to prevent this climate and temperature increases, doesn't know whether their projections have been right or wrong.
Now, we should point out that in between those Sessions questions, Ms. McCarthy, after admitting she didn't know the facts on these, kept saying in very generic terms, but it's clear from all the science that the climate change is happening and it's getting worse and we have to address it and so on and so forth. So there were some edits there for the purpose of time, but it's pretty clear, Ian, that if you're asking for billions upon billions of dollars to solve this and you don't even know the basic facts, that you're not going to win the argument.
In Ms. McCarthy's defense, which I don't say lightly, this is extremely complicated science once you really dig down into it. I mean, the actual factors that go into thinking about the climate are just innumerable, which is why the EPA is so wrong about its policy. It's not that the science is just patently obvious. The science is enormously complex. It's intensely controversial. And the EPA just sweeps in and makes these claims that would have huge economic and social detriments. Look, Gina McCarthy is a bureaucrat. She's not a scientist. I understand that. And I'm sure she has, you know, a general grasp of some of these things. But it shows you exactly what the EPA is, which is not a scientific body of any sort. It's a collection of progressive bureaucrats for whom environmental science is a type of religion. That religion's ritual is imposing huge regulation on economic development. And that's all that they're trying to do. And so when it comes down to proclaiming the science, that's really just a cover for the types of sweeping regulatory changes that they want to make.
All right, on to the bad and crazy martinis now. Obviously, we move to the bad first, but both of them deal with Hillary Clinton and her ongoing email headaches. For those who haven't been following this over the past few days, the New York Times reported late Monday that Hillary Clinton used exclusively a private email account during her entire tenure at the State Department. And then we found out on Wednesday she actually had a server installed in her own house, so she had her own email system, which means only she can decide whether or not any of it's going to ever be out there for public dissemination. We'll get to that a little bit in the third martini as well. But after days of coverage of this, and even many Democrats struggling to defend her, other than Lanny Davis, of course, who I think it's his personal job to defend Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton no matter what they do, all of this back and forth, Hillary, last night, a little before midnight, sends out a tweet that says, "I want the public to see my email. I asked State to release them. They said they will review them for release as soon as possible." And right now, it looks like that could be at least several months away, which makes the third martini even more crazy. But what do you make of Hillary, after all of this, not releasing a statement, not saying anything at the Emily's List event the other night at their big gala, but basically, you know, limiting this to 140 characters or less?
Yeah, this is delicious. Hillary wants the public to see her emails the way OJ wants to find the real killer. You know, Scarborough was taking this on this morning and said rightly, how dumb do they think we are that the response of the Clintons, as you point out, after essentially no response on just an enormous issue that not only brings into the public eye once again exactly what it means to be Clintonian, but also a huge security risk, the only response is to come up with this tweet that is essentially deceptive in that the State Department doesn't have those emails. That was the whole point of the private email account and the private server. The State Department only has the emails that they've saved that have come from Hillary Clinton, about which we know nothing, or the emails that the Clinton team has given to them. So it's not only just an absurdly weak response from Clinton, but it's essentially deceptive. I don't know how you can go out there with a straight face if you're, you know, David Brock or some of these others, and continue to defend this, because even from a PR perspective, it's just disastrous.
Yeah, it certainly is. And as Jim pointed out earlier in the week, there's no other reason to have your own personal server for personal emails you'll have at work than to keep them away from the public domain.
Exactly, so, exactly.
Fascinating stuff. All right, on to the crazy martini now, and on to whether or not these emails contain any classified information. Whenever you have a complicated issue, there's no one better than Marie Harf to sort it out. So she was asked about this at the State Department briefing yesterday, especially in response to a quote that she had sent to Al Jazeera, a written statement that said, "We have no indication that Secretary Clinton used her personal email account for anything but classified purposes. While Secretary Clinton did not have a classified email system, she did have multiple other ways of communicating in a classified manner, including assistants printing documents for her, secure phone calls, and secure video conferences," unquote. Well, some reporters didn't quite buy that completely, so here's how a little of that played out at the State Department briefing on Wednesday.
Do you have anything further on whether there's going to be a comprehensive review of the contents of these emails, or how it is that you've reached the I guess, decision that there was no classified information included in
Well, obviously, and part of this is coming up because 300 of her emails were provided to the select committee. So somebody obviously had to go through all 55,000 pages and determine if there was anything that was deemed responsive to the select committee's request. So that process for that request was undertaken. If other requests come in the future, they will be gone through as well to see if there's anything responsive and appropriate to be provided. She and her team has said that it was not used for anything but unclassified work. You know, we don't undergo scans of everyone's unclassified email to make sure they're only doing unclassified work. So I don't think there was any indication she was doing anything but here. So I don't think it's really a pertinent question.
So we really have no idea because she gave us her word and we sifted through a bunch of emails that she sent us, but we haven't actually, of course, had access to original email. So, Ian, her definitive statement to Al Jazeera seems to be a little leaky at this point.
So the basic rationale here is Hillary Clinton says everything's on the up and up, and obviously the Clintons are known for their candor and honesty in matters of public relations, so we should all just take their word for it. okay, set that aside. There does seem to be this just bizarre implicit faith among some on the left that there wasn't classified information involved here. And of course, we don't know that for a fact. But the alternative is that Hillary Clinton, in 4 years as America's top diplomat, never sent a single email that had in any way sensitive information. You're not on the same planet with the rest of us if you think that that's even a possibility. This is HARF, though, so you know, as far as the competency of the response, we always know that it's going to be a routine of stepping on rakes from beginning to end.
Oh, man. You know Bill's going to have to come out and try and salvage this operation at some point.
Absolutely. He'll work a charm offensive, and it'll be very interesting to see if reporters will continue to be dogged on this the way that they seem to be inclined to do here. It's encouraging, for instance, that the Associated Press looks like they're going to file suit for unfulfilled FOIA requests. Apparently, there are several other organizations that have FOIA requests on Clinton emails that are years old that have just been ignored, and the press is beginning to pick up on that. So this is a serious problem for Hillary Clinton, and so far the response from those in authority like HARF and those on the Clinton team has been laughable, and everyone knows it, which is why Democrats are running scrambled too. So for those of us on the right, it's just wonderful.
How excited should conservatives be by the fact that Josh Earnest yesterday is saying, we had no idea she had her own personal server? You had, you know, Biden donors and bundlers saying, well, I don't know, she's going to have a death of 1,000 cuts here. Does this mean the end possibly of the coronation? Does this mean that we're going to see a couple extra folks jump in here and make this at least mildly interesting for the Democratic nomination?
You know, it's interesting. We've been having this debate here around our office. You know, there are a whole lot of reasons for other Democrats not to get involved. You know, the Clinton machine, so to speak, is still very influential. They wield a whole lot of power, and you don't want to run afoul of them. We know that Elizabeth Warren and Hillary Clinton had what I'm sure was a less than amicable private sit down in December, and suddenly Elizabeth Warren is not even thinking about running. This might be the instigator of new activity among Democrats. It certainly should be if they at all know what's good for their party, because they seem to have come around to this notion that Hillary is too big to fail, and they've put all their chips on her. And if they think that this type of scandal is the extent of her troubles, they've certainly another thing coming.
Been a rough few weeks here with the Clinton Foundation scandal and now the email scandal. And kudos to the New York Times for breaking this story and staying on it. It's only week one, though, so we'll see. I'm sure if Scott Walker fails to answer a question about the Big Bang Theory again, that I'm sure that'll run Hillary off the front page.
Oh, absolutely.
We'll see, I guess. Ian, thanks so much for filling in on a snowy day, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks, Greg.
Ian Tuttle of National Review in for Jim Garrity today. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for being with us today. Please join us on Friday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.